Greetings. My name is Dale Day, one of the many uncles of Cheyenne Devilasco. And it's both an honor and privilege for me to welcome you all here as we celebrate her life and reflect on how she impacted ours. To say thank you for being here comes quite short of what the appreciation the family has for each and every one of you here and those that could not make it. The journey that this family was on has been quite difficult, and your involvement in their life, each and every one, the thoughts and prayers and love, kindness, is very much appreciated. It's very difficult to express that, but know that's how we feel, all of us. So thank you for being a part and caring. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only other relationship that I can think is more important than what we have here today. And our dear Cheyenne confessed her faith in the Lord to save her from her sins. And when she took her last breath here in Grand Rapids, she was immediately home with the Lord. In glory, pain-free. That's the most important thing going on here today. And we just want to take time to reflect on relationships and just how important they are. I reflected on how Cheyenne impacted me the last few times I saw her. Two words come to mind when I think about the character traits that she portrayed. One is courage, and the other is a warrior. I've heard them over and over from all of you, and you captured that well for me. And I saw that in her, because amidst her physical difficulties, up to just days before she passed, she was moving into my daughter's house, her dorm room, to go attend Grace Bible College to learn more about God and His Word and learn how to minister and help others. The Lord didn't allow that to happen. And as I saw her, we had one fun event in Holland downtown, and the next day, she was in the hospital on life support. So the last few times I saw her, she was confined to a hospital room, a bed, attached to machines by tubes and wires, and laboring for each breath. And I'm searching for why. I don't understand why this is that way for a young, beautiful girl who willingly wants to serve the Lord, and tenaciously at that. We were so happy with her faith, and it affected us deeply. But now it's even more so affecting us. So when I don't understand things, I often go back to the Bible. And sure enough, the Lord showed me a passage to help me understand why. It's kind of a parallel passage where our Apostle Paul is writing in a similar situation where he's in chains. He's in jail. And his body bears the marks of many beatings, whippings, and even a stoning. Most men would have died from what he endured. And it's just three short verses that I want to read from Philippians 1, verse 12 through 14. Amidst this suffering, this is what he wrote. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. I can hear Cheyenne saying that to all of us. So how she impacted me, my understanding is, I'm challenged by, with what more can I do to advance the gospel? And so I have been thinking and praying about what I can do to realize that and to make her testimony carry on through that, those actions. So I think each of us who are brothers and sisters in the Lord have that challenge before us. And those who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we just hope that you seriously consider that today, because we know Cheyenne would dearly love you to be a brother and a sister in the Lord. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you as you are the great giver of life. Also the great giver of salvation that answers our problem with sin, so we can have a life of eternity with you. We just ask you to bless this time. May it be sweet. May it be challenging. And may it move us to all grow closer to you. And we just thank you for the wonderful time we had with Cheyenne, and what a beautiful girl she is. And we just treasure the moments that we had with her, and we look forward to seeing her again. So I ask for your blessing upon this service and each and every one here. Just be with the presenters as they come, and just bless them. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to introduce Justine Hasalube. She is going to lead us in two of Cheyenne's favorite hymns. And she will be accompanied by Cheyenne's grandmother, Corrine DeVelasco.
Please stand and use the hymnal that you'll find underneath your pew. And 130 is the first hymn. The hour I first believed. Next is 529, It Is Well With My Soul.
I'll show you. At times life is wicked and I just can't see the light. A silver lining sometimes isn't enough to make some wrong seem right. Whatever life brings, I've been through everything and now I'm on my knees looking. But I know I must go on, although I heard I must be strong, because inside I know that many feel this way.
I'm struggling to breathe. Three, four, five, six, seven times. I wonder why I inside this ring. I may be knocked down and so bruised, but I'm here to tell you I may be knocked down, but I'm above the floor again, but I know that victory is when I'm pushing through the pain that tries to weave me like that. I won't be end. I may be bloodied and so bruised, but I'm here to tell you I'm aiming.
Choice to deny God and live. For her there was one choice to make. This was the time, this was the dance. She lived every moment, left nothing to chance. She swam in the sea, drank of the deep, embraced the mystery of all she could be. This was her time. Though you are mourning and grieving your loss, death died a long time ago. Swallowed in life so the life carries on. Still it's so hard. This was the time, this was the dance. She lived every moment, left nothing to chance. She swam in the sea, drank of the deep, embraced the mystery of all she could be. What if tomorrow, and what if today, faced with the question, oh, what would you say?
To your life, it's more than makeup staining your eyes. You wanna be in a better place, say you don't wanna live this way all alone. When your heart is cold, you're gonna have to let me
Hi. Hello. I'm Drew. 10 years ago, I became Cheyenne's cousin through marriage. And there's two Cheyennes I remember. There was the little girl that was afraid of me at first. And then there was grown-up Cheyenne, and there wasn't a whole lot of in-between. And I had the privilege to get to know her a bit in these last 3 years. Got to write some songs with her, and she was quite the songwriter. And I'm sure she's continuing to do that where she is now. And she's not afraid anymore. And Lord, we thank you for bringing her home safe. And please tell her that we who remain will continue to pick on Colton. The song's by Brent DeVelasco. She's my baby girl.
Wish I could just take it all away, and my heart breaks every time she cries. Lord, please help me understand the reasons why, 'cause I'd gladly take her place if you let me, like you did for me at Calvary. Let me take on her pain. I'd walk in that rain. She's my whole world. She's my baby girl. Surgery, how can this be? Why won't this cancer leave your body? I see a pretty face so full of grace, with strength and courage to run the race. And my heart aches every time she cries. Lord, please help me understand the reasons why, 'cause I'd gladly take her place if you let me, like you did for me at Calvary. Let me take on her pain. I'd walk in that rain. She's my whole world. She's my baby girl. I open up the book to take a look, to understand the path her life took. And right there I see in John 3:16, you defeated this sickness for her and me. And I can't take her place, no matter how I try. Your word helps me understand the reasons why. You gladly took her place at Calvary. You took away her sins upon that tree. You took on her pain. You walked in that rain, she's your whole world. She's your whole world. She's your baby girl.
Over the past several years, we've made announcement after announcement updating folks about Shai's struggle with cancer and asking for prayer for herself and her family. Today, it's a real privilege and high honor for me to announce that she's now cancer-free, pain-free, with no possibility of either ever invading her life again. When I say that, I'm just actually repeating what her dad, his account, if you saw it on Facebook, where Brent said, after 3 years of battling this disease, 8 different chemos, 7 surgeries, an amputation, countless doctor visits, my little girl is cancer-free, with 100% chance of it not reoccurring again, ever. That makes this a grand day of celebration, not a day to mourn. But there's more to celebrate than just the fact that Shai isn't suffering or struggling and fighting against the cancer. Because today is a day to celebrate her promotion to glory. The Bible says that for a believer, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible says our life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. So, Brent, Homer, Jean, Joey, look around at this crowd. Just look around you today. Sympathy, someone has said, is something that you feel. Compassion is something that you show. Even better is something that you do. So as you look about you, I hope you see the evident demonstration of the reach of Shai's life far beyond just her immediate circle. If we were to have the whole afternoon to spend together, which we don't, of course, but if we did, and we would ask folks to share their own stories with us, you know, we all knew Shai to be an amazing young lady, you would hear over and over the words you've already been hearing about her. She's loving, kind, selfless, courageous. All that gathered together in that smiling countenance that radiated not just the inner qualities, but that put on display an amazing strength of character. Frankly, as her pastor, I can tell you that she's a grand testimony to the value of teaching children and young people sound doctrine. Like Timothy, she from a child has known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it was that faith that sustained Shai, carried her at every level of her life. When she looked about to put a decoration on her leg, she used her grandfather's artwork. O death, where is thy sting? Looks right in the face of death and says, you can't hurt me. the sting of death, the thing that makes death hurt, like a bee sting or a wasp sting, the thing that puts pain into death is sin. That's the problem. The verse goes on to say that the strength of sin is the law. That is our performing. You see, the thing that makes sin a problem is the middle letter of the word sin is the problem. I have the idea that I can fix it. The strength, the thing that gives sin strength in your life, the Bible says is the law, is you believing you can fix it on your own. We all desire to be validated. We all desire purpose, meaning. We desire to prove we're worth loving. And that's why we find all these thousands of ways to try to validate ourselves, none of which work. They always leave us empty. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, and it's the season that's the problem because it doesn't last. It looks like it's going to work. It looks like it's going to be the answer. I'll fix my problem. I'll do it. I'll create my identity. I'll create my world. I'll prove that I'm worthy. I'll prove that my life is valuable. And it all falls short. That's what sin does. The wage of sin is death. The strength of sin is in our performing. But that verse goes on to say that thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the victory isn't in who we are and what we do. The victory is in what He does and what He's done. It's not in our performance. The Bible says that the law, God gave the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world be guilty before Him. The law puts you and says you can't. The gospel says God did. The Bible says that God commended His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, while we weren't trying to do better, while we were failing when we did, that God commended His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen to the good news. God's love today for you is not tied to your circumstances. It's not tied to your finances. It's not tied to the condition of your health. It's not tied to your romantic life. It's tied to one event in human history when Jesus Christ, God Himself, entered into our humanity and went to a cross and was made sin for you. The one that didn't have any reason to die on his own died for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There's God's love. Sometimes the people say the world's dying for a lack of love. No, the world's dying in spite of the greatest love you could ever know. She understood that. She had trusted Christ. She had put her faith in Him. And she knew that she had the answer in Him. If you've got that bulletin, you'll see what she wrote on the inside when someone asked, how can something like this, a tragedy like this, happen to such a sweet young girl? How can God... You know, sometimes we think we're better than God. We know better than He. We would do better if we were God. We wouldn't let things happen. I guess you never saw the movie Bruce Almighty. But anyway. Her response was, unfortunately, because we live in a fallen world, even though we believe in our Savior, that doesn't mean that we're kept from the evils in the world that we caused by our sin. The only reason I'm still the person I am today is because of the hope I have in our Lord. He saved our souls from this world, but not our bodies. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The strength of sin the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's when we trust Him, not ourselves, that we have victory, because that's what He provides. The Bible says the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift Doesn't mean it's cheap. Doesn't mean it didn't cost, but it didn't cost you because you couldn't pay. He paid the debt and bought the gift of eternal life and gives it to you. When it says the wages of sin is death, that's not just physical death, because everything about you isn't just your physical body. When God made man, he formed his body out of the dust, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and we became a living soul. There's a part of you that's more than just your body. There's a part of Shai that's more than just her. If you look at her earthly house, or this tabernacle, and you look at her, all you have to do is look at her countenance, and you know she's not there. The little girl that animated that body with those beautiful eyes and that bright smile, she's with the Lord. You know immediately there's more to you than that. When the Bible says the wages of sin is death, it's more than just physical death. It is that. But there's a death of your inner man. The Bible calls it the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. It's the eternal consequences of paying for your own sin. And God loved you enough to give you victory over that by letting His Son, the eternal Son of God, die and pay for your sin debt. And instead of trying to think you can validate yourself, you can find your validation in Him. When Shai had to lose her leg, she looked to Colossians 2:10, and you're complete in Him. And she said, I'm not complete physically. My completeness isn't in my physical body. My completeness is in who I am in Christ. She knew and understood that there was more to her than just the physical life. There's a deeper reality to who she was and who she is. Someone said to me, you know, just she lived too short a time, too short a life. Well, the way I knew Shai, and probably you too, she lived the fullest. She lived more in just her few short years than many live to be as old as I am, and I'm old. Or I'm seasoned. But it isn't how many years you live, it's what you live in them. She learned to cherish life more than circumstances. When you come in that door back there, there's a motto, more than conquerors. That's Romans 8:37. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And that was a motto that sustained her. If you read on the back of the bulletin, her brother wrote a little tribute. And he said it this way, Cheyenne could easily have cursed God for what she went through, but she didn't. Because she knew that it wasn't His doing. She knew this was sin. She instead praised God because of what He did for us through Christ at the cross. If her life could have any testimony to any of you, please let it be the testimony of her love for Christ and the love of comfort that He gives us. You see, that's the stark reality that we face this afternoon. The oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job, the first book ever written. When Moses came out of Egypt, brought Israel out of Egypt, he had that book in his hand. And that book asked the question, why do the righteous suffer? That's the question people usually use in it. It's not really what it is, but... And it answers that question. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote the 8th of Romans, answered it. Job answers it in prospect. Romans answers it in doctrine. When Paul says that I reckon that the sufferings of this present world, this present time, rather, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The reason that glory hasn't come, the whole creation groans and travails, he says, in pain together. The earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who subjected the same in hope. For the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. There's coming a day when all of it will be taken care of. It'll be settled. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We're not exempt. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. In other words, there's a hope. And you say, well, why hasn't it been realized? Because the time schedule for its coming hasn't come yet. Now, all of a sudden, you need to understand some things about the Bible, what the Bible says about what God's doing in the world. People want quick fixes. They want you to say this, this, and this, and all, boom, it's done. You live in a microwave age where you stand in front of a microwave and boil your water for your coffee for 90 seconds, and you're anxious that it didn't get done quicker. But that's not how character is built. That's not how understanding comes. It's simply to understand what God's doing. And the fact that the time hasn't come yet, but it will, allows you to do what he says there. He says, for we're saved by hope. We're saved from the misery, from the despair, from the confusion, because we know what to expect. But hope that is seen is not hoped for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? For if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So when you know what's coming, when you know what's ahead, you understand what God's doing, and the part that you have in it, you have comfort. You have assurance. Try and understood those things. But it all starts, and it comes to the place where you say, I realize all my efforts to resolve my issues, my problems, my confusions don't work. But God commended his love. Go back to the verse. And that while I was yet a sinner, while what I was doing wasn't working, Christ died for me. And God offers you that as a gift. If I offer you a gift today, you don't pull out your pocketbook and say, how much can I pay you? I paid for it. You take it. And what do you say when somebody gives you a gift? Well, nobody said it, but I'll say, hello, y'all out there. Can't you? You say, thank you. And that's what faith is. It's just trusting God to keep his word. The Bible says that God made his son a fully satisfying sacrifice for your sin. That when you put your faith and trust in him, when you rely exclusively on him, not on someone else, not on you, not a church, not an activity, but on him. He did that to declare at this time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. He doesn't take your sin and put it under the rug as it were nothing. He doesn't sweep it away as though it didn't count. He's just. He deals with it fully, completely, honorably. And he puts it away by the sacrifice of himself. That he then can give it to you as a gift that you didn't deserve, that you couldn't earn, but that he had bestowed upon you, and that he's the justifier, listen, of him which believeth in Jesus. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior that he died at Calvary for you to be, rose again to be the author of life for you, put away your sin by his payment, death payment, give you life, everlasting life, through his resurrection. When you trust him to be the Savior he did that for you to be, God saves you. Gives you eternal life. Not just a home in heaven when you die, but life that starts the moment you trust him. Then all of a sudden the Bible becomes a different kind of book to you, and you begin to realize that there's life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are truth, and they are spirit, and they are life. And all of a sudden it all begins to be different because you have a life that you never had before. Today, we celebrate Cheyenne's promotion to glory. Today needs to be a day that you personally know for sure that you too, when you're absent from the body, will be present with the Lord. By grace are you saved. Grace is all that God is free to do for you through the finished work of Christ, through faith. The only thing you can do is the one thing you can do without doing anything, any work, and that's to believe, that's to trust. By grace, you're saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when your faith rests in his Son, you believe in Jesus because he's the one that died for you and rose again to give you life. God saves you. Gives you everlasting life the moment you trust him. You need to know for sure today that this day you have that life. I know many of you do. I know many of you don't. Listen, don't just come to celebrate Cheyenne's life. Share that everlasting life that she enjoys in reality today. Right where you are, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to move a muscle. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to pray. You don't have to shake a preacher's hand. You don't have to make deals. You don't have to stop anything. You don't have to start anything. God looks at your heart, the quietness and stillness of your inner man, and He wants to see your faith resting in His Son completely, exclusively. You make that choice today. God will save you. You need to make this a day where you know and understand God's Word for yourself. Have a determination to have God's Word work effectually in you that believe. Have an intelligent understanding of God's Word so that your life is not built just on experiences or emotions, but on that intelligent understanding of what God's Word says, who you are in Christ, and how that lives. That will make this celebration complete. That will truly honor this precious life that was lived so sweetly in our midst. Our Father, we thank You today just for what brings us here. We thank You for Cheyenne, the privilege to have been able to walk with her through life, for her family, all this host of friends, but most of all for the life that she had in Christ Jesus that lived itself out through her in such a clear and precise way. I pray today for these folks that are here, those that need Christ as Savior. They need Him. In the confusion and darkness of life, in the distractions of life, they need Him. I pray today that Shai's homegoing would press upon their heart the necessity, the urgency of that choice. For those that are saved, that her life would demonstrate the importance and the value of understanding Your grace and have it be Your Word that is the foundation of their life. We thank You for that privilege. And as we go from here today, we pray that we go with happy hearts that rejoice in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. We're going to have a piece of music that's going to come. You're going to get to hear. She wants to sing one more time for you.
Outlet for anybody to really express their emotions and it's a good way to share the message of our Lord and really get a ministry going. And that's kind of where I see myself in the future, is setting up either my own ministry or becoming a producer and reaching out to younger people, urging them to really express their emotions and coming to know our Lord better. And just having that kind of body of Christ all together in one room, but also worshiping Him with our lyrics and our music.
I have to tell you, I can't see you. you're like a dark thing out there. That's why if you see me looking down, it's because I'm not used to being in the spotlight like this. Thanks for being here this afternoon. We do appreciate that. It's a great crowd. We're going to go from here in a moment. And as we do, we're going to give you an opportunity to, if you would like to file down and pass by the casket one last time. The way we're going to do this, because there's such a large crowd, we're going to come down this aisle here. So we're going to ask you, if you, the directors will direct you. We'll start in the back, and you need to fly all this way. You can walk the pews and come down this way. That's the foot of the casket, and then we'll go out that way. Okay? We'd like to meet in the lobby if you'd like to wait in the lobby for the family. That way we're going to give the family just a last few private moments before we take the coffin to the hearse and on to the cemetery. Also, you'll understand that the journey to the cemetery is going to be reserved for the family and close friends. So we thank you so much for your expression of compassion and love by being here. And God's best to you as you continue to allow Cheyenne's life to touch your life.